Hi, and welcome to the Macro Show. We talk macro and try to make sense of markets that, look, does it really matter what the markets do? As long as bonds are up, right? It's all that matters, am I right? As long as bonds are up, market makes perfect sense. Who cares about what the rest of it does? I'm your host, Steve Van Meter. Thanks for joining me today. We got a lot going on. First off, special edition of the Macro Show tomorrow. You asked for more educational content. You've got it. A whole video on how the Fed has trapped us in a liquidity trap that's going to lead to, yep, lower treasury yields. Yay for the bond kingdom. And not only that, lower consumer prices. Yeah, some of you have been asking a lot about this money supply relationship. How can it be? Answer tomorrow, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, whatever the time zone you're in. There it is. All right, in today's show, we've got the conundrum from Friday. Now, if you missed Friday's show, you'll know that I did not have an answer to what's going on with the pandemic unemployment claims. Leave it to our friend Jeff Snyder to literally post the answer. I think within an hour after the video went up, I swear I had nothing to do with that, but he posted the answer. We'll look at that. We're talking about margin debt and why that is a huge problem. Got some economic data to look over, the Chicago Fed National Activity Index, today's 20-year bond auction, what's going on in Germany, and of course, Commitment of Traders report, as always on Monday. We like to look at how the speculators are positioned. So let's go back to the real short on Friday. There's two things about Friday that bothered me. One, and I appreciate a lot of the feedback all of you gave me was awesome. And I need to answer on that. So there's two things that bother me. One we'll need to get to probably in another episode, probably on a Thursday, because we have back-to-back 900 plus thousand claims. And I'm really curious to see what this is going to be on this coming Thursday. But the conundrum was, why do we see this massive drop-off in pandemic unemployment claims? Now, many of you said, part of the problem is, you know, because people were going off the benefit and now they're coming back on, they really never left, but because it was allowed to expire, there's a lag in the state reporting. And your answer was, don't worry, it's coming back up. It'll show up. Yeah, that's pretty valid view. And we'll add that on to what Jeff Snyder had to say. Now, this isn't from his article, but he linked to this, and I thought this was great. This is titled, Millions of Workers Will Have to Submit New Documents for Pandemic Unemployment Benefits in 2021. And this, I wish I would have seen this one sooner because I thought it was really interesting. What happened is the $900 billion stimulus bill added new verification process to curb the fraud that impact 10 million people drawing from the program, as well as new applicants. Now, I did not know that you could just file it and get these benefits without doing anything. So let's see, individuals, at the moment the new stimulus bill was passed, individuals currently claiming PUA benefits have 90 days to submit documents proving their eligibility for the program. Mind you, apparently you did not have to do this before. Failure to do so puts them at risk of having the PUA funds provided or having to return the funds provided after the bill's enactment. Now, obviously, if you are fraudulently claiming, this will be a problem because if you can't prove it, you're going to have to give the money back. Now, this goes on to say that they don't know what all the questions, at the time of this article, what the verification process is, but they're mainly targeting some people who are self-employed freelance or gig workers, and they're going to have to provide some additional information to why it is they need this money. And so in the past, this is what I find most interesting, and I imagine some of you will too, is when this was originally established, people could self-attest that they were eligible for the POA. Gee, shocking that there was fraud, right? In other words, they swore under a threat of perjury that if they qualified for the aid, and under the new requirement, it is unclear how, say, someone whose job offer was rescinded back in April and is yet to find work will prove that they should remain eligible for PUA in the new year. Well, they have to dig up an old email. Who knows? But nevertheless, the answer to all of this question is this new verification process, and they will have people who apply for PUA the first time starting January 31st will have 21 days to submit their verification process. Now, does it start to make some sense of why if apparently they believe 10 million people on this program are on it fraudulently, that why they're dropping their claims? Because, well, not eligible for it. So there you go. You got 21 days to prove you're eligible. If you can't, give the money back. So if you're not eligible, that it really does make a whole lot of sense. And we'll be interested to see how this plays out. If the number does go back up because the claims are valid, or if it'll go down. Not, and we know they're not getting jobs because, you know, this, the state claims tell us. I mean, if the economy was really turning around and people are going back to work, then these wouldn't have back-to-back 900,000 week claims. So let's talk about margin debt. And this is from the Advisor Perspectives website. You can look this article up. They update it usually about once a month as the data comes out. And this shows margin debt. Now, what is margin debt? It's people borrowing either from the dealer or pledging their securities to get additional money. They're borrowing against their account. And what you can see is that, is that the chart? Here. FINRA margin debt and the S&P 500. You can see margin debt is now all-time highs. This is what's driving the market, is speculative investing. People borrowing money and buying stocks in the middle of the largest pandemic since the Spanish flu, and in the middle of a recession, on the hopes that stock prices will go higher regardless of what the economy is going to go through. So this isn't stocks. You know, people like to say, well, stocks are forward looking. You know, as one of my friends who's been a longtime veteran in the industry says, man, I remember when that was 6 months. Now people say, oh, stocks are forward looking by 18 months. No, investors are just hoping stocks are forward looking by 18 months, and they're willing to take massive speculative bets against that. If stocks were indeed forward looking by 18 months, then all the people that were in stocks going into the March meltdown of last year would have sold ahead of time, and they didn't. So what you see is just massive amounts of speculation in this market, and history shows that eventually speculation, when there is a liquidity or insolvency event, that there's a massive unwind of all of this debt, and that is a huge red flag when you see this happening. With what's going on, especially when there's 900,000 back-to-back claims. I mean, that's not what we should be seeing right now in terms of an economic recovery. Let's take a look at the economic data. Not a lot to look at today, but there's a little bit. We've got German business expectations. Now, we're going to take a little bit deeper look at this. We normally don't. I normally just comment about it, but I want to look at this because, you know, Germany is a manufacturing, you know, machine of Europe. I mean, that they are big. So what's going on in Germany kind of tells us what potentially is going on in other parts of the country. I mean, right, you've got the German auto manufacturers, you know, big ones there. So you've got current assessment and expectations. Now, current assessments are saying, hey, things are not good, and they're starting to roll over. In fact, they never recovered back to their pre-pandemic levels, never got back up there. But look at expectations. Expectations are like, oh, things are going to get awesome, and they're getting even better. And all of a sudden, expectations are falling. So what you're seeing in Germany is this notion of a recovery. Well, we're not seeing it there in this data at all. Let's go on to look at Chicago Fed National Activity Index. Now, this is a great report. Comes out once a month. And as you know, we like to look at this. And you can find it on the Chicago Fed website. And it tells us some pretty interesting things. It says when the CFNAI is above zero, it shows that the national economy is expanding above its historical trend. Now, you have to take this almost with a slight grain of salt because we went so far below trend. I kind of zoomed in here so you could see that yes, it would be logical that we would have above trend growth for a while. The key is, where is this thing going? And you can kind of see that it's come way back down and it's flatlining. Now, even the Chicago Fed says, don't use the month-to-month data. Now, the month-to-month data says, hey, it got better. It went from 0.31 to 0.52, and that's pretty good. And they said, nah, you can't really use that because it's a pretty volatile index. They said, you need to use a three-month moving average of it, and it shows pretty clear this thing is flattening out. Now, the good news is it is above trend growth. The problem is it's flat, and that's not what you want to see when people are talking about reflation and the economy rebounding to pre-pandemic levels, because this thing is likely to head lower. Now, in terms of inflation, because everybody thinks inflation is coming, It says that you would need to see a likelihood of a period sustained increasing inflation has historically been associated with values of the CFNAI 3-month moving average above 0.7. Where is the 3-month moving average? 0.61. Where was it before? 0.59. 0.86. So the 3-month moving average is below anything that would indicate inflation, and it's got to be during a period of economic expansion and 2 years. Well, we're not. So we had today's 2-year treasury auction. Normally we don't look at the 2-year, but this was a great auction. It went off very well. One thing that's really interesting to me is the primary dealers took down a little over $16.5 billion, and the Fed is buying about $25.5 billion of 2 years per month. So you know the Fed is gobbling up more than the dealers are getting. And when we've talked about the yield curve, right, and what we want to see is downward pressure on 2-year yields, and then on the long end, 10s or 30s would be great. This indicates that the likelihood that 2-year yields are going lower is increasing. This is a good sign for the flattening of the yield curve. And of course, you know, the first phase of my thesis winding up to the end and playing out as I thought. Let's take a look at the commitment of traders report. This coming in from a friend, Brent Johnson of Santiago Capital. Shorts increased by a little over 2,500 contracts, not much, to the net position of negative 199,000, which is still, well, amazingly large. I mean, yeah, it's not the worst, the lowest in history, but it is really, really high, or really, really low here. And that is likely to lead to a massive speculative unwind, which, as many of you know, when the CTAs trigger back in their buying, these speculators are not going to be able to stop that volume of buying. And it looks like today, we'll get to the charts, the buying pressures are done. Let's take a look at the broader report from Hedgeopia. We see that after going to a net short position on 10 years, large specs are back long the 10-year. So they had a quick change in mind about that, but they, as we just saw, they had no change in their view on the 30-year, deepening their short position. I mean, it's interesting. You see people that are going after companies like GameStop and AMC and shorting or buying or taking long speculative long positions to bid out the shorts. I wonder what will happen the day they figure out they could do the same thing in the bond market. How about crude oil futures on West Texas Intermediate? No real change there. We keep seeing product builds, and last week we saw a little bit of a supply build. So this is a continued theme every week, is what's going on with the oil market. We'll see I'll be curious to see what that says on Wednesday, and we'll of course talk about it on that show. How about the S&P 500? They are pretty much net neutral right now on the S&P 500, getting squeezed out of some of their short positions. How about the euro? Increase in the euro would put downward pressure on the dollar, potentially upward pressure on gold. So we see a little bit longer position on the euro. Everyone thinks that QE is money printing. It is not, but everyone thinks it is. How about gold futures? Unchanged. So no change there. The NASDAQ, somewhat increase in their long positions. People continue to bet on higher tech stocks. And the Russell 2000, we see they went to, they pretty much dropped all of their positions and went net neutral to a mere 449,000. And I guess they think that small caps are done, even though that's probably one of the most crowded trades on the market now. How about the US dollar? Massive short. We've seen in the past when speculators are deeply short the dollar along all the other currencies, there's an unwind coming, which I believe will be led by the bond market. And here's one thing that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, is speculators are increasing their short volatility positions, believing that nothing bad can happen to the US stock market. Of course, as we know, when the bond market does unwind, it will pull all that liquidity out. Let's take a look at a couple of quick charts. We have TLT reversing here, gapping up overnight trading, and then a solid day. When you see a candlestick like this where it opens and then closes pretty much right at the high, I mean, that is a strong showing in the bond market. So potentially a gap up higher tomorrow night. We'll see what happens tomorrow. And what am I watching? I'm really interested in GDX, as I mentioned on the Sunday night chart show. I'm really interested to see further rejection here at the 50-day moving average. What I'm looking for to see either potential liquidity or insolvency crisis is GDX down and TLT up. Now, remember, they do have a long-standing relationship, so it's possible TLT rising could also pull gold mining stocks higher, but if gold mining stocks can't rally with it, then that is an ominous sign to me. What else do we have maybe of interest? How about emerging markets still sitting near, is it at all time? I can't remember. At all time highs. You think if there's something set for a reversal, that might be one of those, especially if GDX goes down, that would be your indicator. So I'm Steve Van Meter. As always, appreciate you being fans. Appreciate your feedback. Thanks for all the likes. Thanks for the subscribes. Check out tomorrow's show. It's going to be great. I got the whole report from the St. Louis Fed linked in there. We're going to go through it step by step. What it does is it validates everything I've been teaching you, tells you exactly how this is going to play out, courtesy of the Fed. And of course, that's, when you understand how the markets work, then you start to understand how what I did is I built my thesis around exactly how the system works. And because it's a macro thesis, it takes a little longer to play out. But for those of you who are Real Vision fans, make sure you tune in tomorrow. I interviewed the new president and big fan of the show. He's laughing right now. Travis Kimmel at Colorado Travis on Twitter. Check it out where we talk about the greatest trade. That's right, because when you understand how macro theses play out, when you understand how the system works, you know how all this is going to go and you know what to do. It's just a matter of being there at the right time and having the capital to do it, which most people don't at major market bottoms. Again, I'm Steve Van Meter. Thanks for watching. Thanks for being fans. We'll see you tomorrow for the special and then back for a regular macro show on Wednesday. Bye now. The content of this video is provided as educational information only. It's not intended to provide investment or other advice. Shows not to be construed as recommendation or solicitation by our security financial instrument or to participate in any particular trading strategy. So what's bared by Steve Van Meter, personal capacity, opinions expressed in this video that do not reflect the view of Atlas Financial Advisors, Inc. or Steve Van Meter Financial.